I just got stuck in a bogey train.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 58 of the Bogey Train Podcast. Yours truly, Nick, as always, here with Jangs. Jangs, what's good?
We're on 59 watch. We're one away.
We are one away. We are going to be on 59 watch. We got a special one today. We are going to be doing an interview with Ty Leonards, who just won the individual medalist honors at the state boys high school tournament, AA South Dakota. And we're super pumped to get him on the show.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of huge. This is like our first, I don't know if you want to call it major guest that we've had on the show. We've had Drew on a couple times. We had Lando on once or twice as well. But we're really kind of branching out. This is our branching out period. Kind of opening up the comfort zone, maybe one of our first more legitimate interviews, you could call it. Super, super excited to have Ty on. Not every day you get to just talk to a state champion. So pumped, excited.
There you go. Thrilled to have him on. Hope you guys enjoy the discussion. And now on to the interview. Ty, good to have you. Thanks for coming on. What's the last week been like?
Oh, pretty exciting. Just a lot of emotions. Obviously, senior year's done now. Got to go to college now. But yeah, it was exciting. Definitely those first few days and just kind of shocking what all happened. But yeah, now just kind of getting to the point where it's realizing that it's over. But
I mean, I wouldn't say senior year's quite done yet. You still got few months to go here, but
yeah,
golf wise, yeah, that's the one thing about fall golf is, you know, you still have all that school left, but that part is over pretty quickly. So like I said, a little over a week ago, went back to back as a team and you won state as an individual. It's been 8 days. Has it sort of sunk in yet? Does it feel different than it did right away?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, those first few days were just kind of like, it was just kind of, I don't even know, amazing, kind of mind blowing that it's real, that I actually just won state. But yeah, great feeling.
Was it like, going into it, is that like individually, was that on your mind at all? Like, were you thinking, like, obviously the team you guys won last year, you won quite a few tournaments this year. It had to have been the goal team wise, but individually, was that like in your mind at all?
Yeah, for sure. My goal before the start of the year was first individual win and then team state win. And then an individual state win. So got all three of them.
Did you win any other tournaments individually other than state?
Yeah. My first win was a Hillcrest one, Yankton.
What'd you shoot down there?
71.
That's good.
Pretty solid. That's good around there. That place.
Blowing about 32. So yeah.
Yeah. I just think about that course. If there's any wind, I just think about hole 17.
Yeah.
To this day, I still think I'm the only person to miss right of the water on 17 and still stay inbounds. There's about a yard strip there. I might be the only person in history that's ever done it. So
yeah, I've never heard about that.
Honestly, yeah, that's pretty special. That takes some skill to do that.
Don't recommend trying it, that's for sure.
So, I mean, sounds like you basically checked off all the boxes that you wanted to for this season.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk about ESD. You know, I was following your scores all year as a team, you know, seemed to be doing pretty well. ESD comes around, obviously tough course, tough conditions. Did not go as you guys were hoping, clearly.
Nope.
So what was like, what was the mindset after that? Like, just to obviously try to put that behind you, but it was a performance that I'm sure you guys didn't expect. A lot of us didn't expect. So what was the mindset to get past that?
I mean, honestly, going into the tournament, I wasn't that confident like before that. And then just the conditions of the course and Moccasin is hard just in general. But, yeah, honestly, I just kind of laughed it off. It was obviously mentally draining during the round, but right after, you know, Jonathan Lake popping a 94 kind of made me feel a little better about myself, but.
So going to the state tournament, I can imagine you probably had that one circled on your calendar for quite a few years, being your senior year and at the home course. And so that, you know, there's a lot of family and friends and just general Watertown folks that were able to come watch. So like, I guess going into it, kind of coming off a terrible tournament, but putting that aside, like how, like, was it hard to just sort of keep it one thing at a time, or was it just kind of business as usual?
It was honestly just business as usual. Like, I kind of just played ESD off and just didn't think much of it. And honestly, before ESD, I was kind of focused on state, I would say that. So I'd say some of that's why I played better at ESD. I was already focused on state, but yeah, state was the one I wanted. And yeah.
Anything from you, Jengs? Anything to pop in?
No, you guys can keep going. I've kind of been off in my own world here doing some research, so I'll pop in when I'm ready.
All right, well, feel free to stop me. So like, was there practice wise like preparing for state, was there anything specific or technical you as a team or individually felt like you needed to work on after a tough tournament, or was it mostly mental?
Yeah, going into Moccasin, I was kind of making a little bit of a swing change, and then putting stroke was this, I just didn't know where I was aimed totally. It was just off speed, everything. So it was just getting my putting back, short game, and then just keep doing what I was doing with my swing. And yeah, that was my main focus.
So I'm going to pop in here, cause I think this is a good segue into what my question was, Nick. You mentioned swing change, Ty, and obviously golf is kind of just this game of finding your groove or finding your momentum and kind of riding it. And really you've said in a couple other interviews that I've listened to, like you've just kind of found that groove this year. And even kind of from watching you in the summer, you know, you played really well at the match play, played really well at the Pro-Am, 68, I think it was the first day, or 67. So, I mean, had some really good rounds out there. Like where did that momentum come from? Like, what was the thing that you found in there that kind of really turned on that momentum or really got you in that groove?
I would say, well, I put a lot of work in, like in the off season, obviously at Vitality, but, I'd say eliminating the big holes, and that would happen if I would just stay in the moment, make smarter decisions. Like say there's a back pin, not playing it to the pin, playing it a little shorter, that just to eliminate those big mistakes, those doubles and stuff like that. So, yeah.
You know, that might've been part of why you played so well at the match play, because it's really easy in match play, in my opinion, not to think about result, because if you make a triple on a hole, it really doesn't matter. It's just one hole. So I've always thought that I played better in match play. And like, so do you think that sort of mindset that allowed you to play well in match play kind of carried over into the stroke play events later in the year?
Yeah, so I actually, that was my first time ever playing in like any match play kind of state events like that. So I was kind of talking to Eric Stevens from Vitality and just how it made me, like you explained, made me feel in the moment and just not focusing on results. And he said, yeah, that's kind of what players should play more match play to try to play that golf like in your actual tournament so it carries over. And yeah, I thought it really helped my game.
One thing I've always found with, yeah, go for it.
You mentioned that match play, and Ty, I do remember talking to you before the match play and talking about your pool. And I mean, you were in that pool with Meyerink, and he's guy's a stick. He plays some good golf. And
for
so,
sure, yeah.
I mean, especially first match going out, taking care of him, taking care of business 4-3. I mean, that's it's a huge momentum booster, especially in a match.
Yeah, before. It was. Yeah, definitely boost my confidence.
Okay, so you mentioned Vitality, you mentioned Eric. I had a question sort of for later, but I figured it segues in pretty nicely now. But just sort of talk through the impact he's had on you golf-wise or anything beyond that. It seemed like afterwards when you had that embrace with him after the playoff, it seemed like a pretty special moment. So just talk through his impact.
Yeah, Vitality has obviously had a big impact on me and the rest of the team. I'd say not so much swing. Obviously, he's helped my swing a lot. But, like, the mental game, he's had us, like, 2 years ago, he had us run a half marathon. And we weren't really sure why. But it's honestly just, like, the mental aspect of the game. And, yeah, I don't know, he's always sending us quotes, giving us stuff to think about, always pushing us to our highest potential. And yeah, I don't know. He's a great, great part of Watertown Golf. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much I'm watching a little bit from afar, but yeah, I don't know how much of it is just some talented guys have shown up there. Corey's doing a great job, but it correlates pretty closely with Eric and Vitality and then the success that this team has had over the past few years. So it's hard to not see that. So, all right. So like first day of state, first tee or like, you know, the warm up leading up to it. And then the first tee kind of, I guess I wasn't there the first tee. I didn't see how many people were there, but what was the feeling like on the first tee?
Honestly, surprisingly, not that nervous. Kind of just like, I knew there was a lot of people that were going to come and watch me and the rest of the team. And you would think it'd make me a little nervous, but honestly just embraced it. And just having all those supporters just kind of, I'd say honestly made me play better. And I was just more comfortable out there.
That's good. That's the right mindset.
I'm taking the next one too, because this one, I talked to Ty about this at school one day. Hybridoff won. Talk us through the play there. Hybridoff won. Yep. Cause we talked about this at school one day. And, I definitely know back in the day, Nick, there was a time that I hit Hybridoff that tee and I was definitely called some not very nice names for doing said thing.
Yeah. So, this year, I guess I've hit kind of like a straightish cut, pull cut, and obviously just doesn't fit that tee shot. And so I actually switched to hybrid the week before state because I've like never played a competition event there in a long time, obviously. And
from that tee,
I've always just kind of banged driver and hope for the best. But yeah, you can ask my friends. Those front left trees are always calling my name.
Some scary trees. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple guys that hit low cuts in this chat right now. Yeah.
That is a scary little forest right there.
Yeah. In the pro-am, I think I was, you can ask Jaden Solheim, Gabe Norberg. I think I was about 30 or 40 yards away from 9 red green in the fairway there. So yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
I mean, I was just going to say, it's hard to argue because he birdied it both days. It's just interesting strategy. You don't see that a lot.
Yep.
I mean, short par five, I guess you can do whatever you got to do. But also both, or at least one of the days for sure, hybrid on 13, or four red.
Yeah.
I
didn't see the tee shot. I was up by the green, so I saw how far back you were. What club was that off the tee?
That was a hybrid. I hit driver the first day. It was that frontish left. And so you can miss anywhere right. You got easy pitch shot in, plenty of room. And then that second day, I knew it was pushed right, close to that bunker. It's all downslope in that green. And always the play for me is just don't mess with the slew. You can flare it out right. But with that pin location, it just wasn't calling my name. So Corey said, do whatever you're most comfortable with. I talked to him on the tee box, and I pulled hybrid last second. Obviously, cut it a little close. I've never hit hybrid on that hole before. And so, yeah.
That would be a little bit awkward just because it's a different line.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know worked, the
– Again, though, worked out. Made birdie.
I know the news coverage makes it look a little bit sketchy because you do look mere feet away from the hazard line. Sure.
You know, I thought it was perfect. Hit my shot, turned back, gave Corey a fist bump, and I got a little nervous walking up to my ball. But
yeah, because I look back and I see you hitting from there, and I'm like, did he drop? Like, did he just smother one? But no, he was fine. Made birdie. And then you had a kid in your group that drove the green, had a super good look at eagle.
Yeah, that was Nick, I think, from Pier.
I don't know if Gabe talked to you about, because he was a group ahead of you on that hole. Then you were talking about not wanting to miss right because of that flag. He missed right, so he had a super tight lie over there and just hits this spinner that lands like a foot past the bunker and stops like 2 feet from the hole. So
yeah, you shouldn't bring that up because he's been talking about that for the last week and his ego is going through the roof about it. So
yeah, I guess, yeah. I guess that doesn't surprise me, but you know, I saw that and it's like, hey, I guess you can miss right if you have hands like that. But
yeah,
and I asked, I can confirm Brian did not teach him that. So, So first round, bogey free 66. I saw somewhere. Did you say that was like the lowest score you've ever shot?
Yeah, that was lowest. I think that was my first bogey free round, at least competition wise, but.
And that's a 20 something shot swing between your last competitive round at ESD and the first round of state.
Yep. 24,
24 shots. I mean, it is hard to put into numbers, the difference of cattail crossing, perfect weather versus 30 mile an hour wind, Moccasin Creek, but
yeah,
you know, that has to be baked into the equation, but yeah, still. To put together a round like that, you know, in that sort of situation is pretty, pretty sick. Would you say there was like any one or two moments from day one that kind of stood out as far as like kickstarting your round or keeping momentum going or anything like that?
I'd say I pretty much got off to about the perfect start that I could have. I was like 3 under through 5. Obviously wanted to birdie 5 yellow. I didn't, but, and then going into par 3s, just wanted to go center of the green on both and par both. But, I actually missed the green left on 7 yellow and it was that front pin. So you got to go like down the hill and was it
front, like that front left?
Front right.
Okay.
And I was just barely past the pin. So I'd have to go down that hill. And hit it perfect, chipped in, and that just gave him momentum. Gave her a fist bump and got the crowd pretty hype. But
hitting it perfect is maybe an understatement too, because a couple of the guys that work grounds crew I was talking to, and they said that they were sitting there and they watched you hit that shot, and it was literally dead center of the pin.
Yeah,
smacked it, dropped straight in. Like
yeah.
Could not have been a more perfect shot, especially with how challenging that shot is.
Yeah.
I've been told by someone who was there that ball was going off the green if it missed. Can you confirm or deny that?
Yeah, it was definitely going to probably get to the edge of the fringe, I would say, but probably have a 10-footer coming back.
It also is nearly impossible to stop that ball, probably between that whole location and not go off the green.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as a team, you guys took, I think, a 5-shot lead into the second day. You were a 3-shot lead individually. Does like either of those facts like make you more nervous than the other, like thinking about the team or the individual or neither, or what was that like sort of, having the lead overnight?
I'd say, honestly, I was just kind of focused on the team. It would make me less nervous about the individual. And we knew it was going to be a battle the second day for the team. So just focusing on, you know, getting birdies, still playing aggressive, and I'd come out with both of them. So.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, that's the easy part. Like, you have a lead in both. If the team takes care of business and then you just control what you can control, obviously it's all going to take care of itself.
Yeah.
Teeing off the second day, did you have like, did it any different feeling than the first day or not much?
I'd say same feeling.
So you got off to another good start, right? Birdied the first two the second day or just the first one?
First one, I think. Yeah, part of the second.
Okay. So now, I guess similar question I had for day one. Were there any, like, we'll leave the last couple holes for now, but like throughout the round, like any big moments or like I'm thinking like your bounce back birdies like on 8, for example, like anything like that you like think of that was pretty big to either get some momentum back or keep the momentum going.
You're talking about the first or second day?
Second day.
Second day? Yeah, so all three of my – I had 2 bogeys and then a double. And obviously the double was on the last hole, birdied in the playoff. And then my 2 other bogeys birdied the hole after on both of them. So, yeah, just doing that, making huge putts, par putts coming down to the wire were huge. So, yeah.
How aware were you of the leaderboard on the back 9, like especially team wise?
Probably saw Corey on the back 9 every 2 holes. I'd ask him about the team. And then on 17 is when he kind of told me he was going to walk in with me the last 2 holes, and he was giving me updates the whole time.
So this is a kind of a brief tangent, but like, what's your and Corey's working relationship? Like, is he like, does he kind of go player by player? Is he kind of involved, like walking through decisions, or does he kind of hands off? What's his approach from a player perspective?
Kind of like I said about 4 red the second day, just, I was asking him about what to hit off the tee, and he just says whatever you're most comfortable with, just to kind of boost your confidence. And yeah.
All right. So as we're, yeah. So I was following along that second day, just like, obviously all of us were just refreshing the leaderboard as much as possible. Pierre was making a ton of birdies, especially the second 9. You know, so you guys were kind of hanging in kind of in that like 1 to 4 shots behind, sort of. That's kind of where it was hovering for a while. And then Johnny Lake had, I think he went 4 under in his last 4.
Yeah.
Which kind of changed momentum, you know, kind of got things right back to neck and neck for the most part. Yeah. So I guess just talk about that finish from Johnny and just like any of the other, I guess, teammates, just shouting them out for how they played.
Yeah, Johnny, that was for sure clutch. He kind of had a rough first day, and then I was kind of talking to him with some of my buddies, and he's kind of a second day warrior, kind of like last year at state, shot 73, I think, at Brandon the second day. He can go on a heater at any time at any point. So we knew he was going to do something special. And then Cato, he was obviously sick going in the tournament with E. coli. And we honestly weren't too worried about him. He's steady golfer, always going to shoot anywhere from 71 to 68. And then Gabe obviously came in clutch that first day, shooting 71. Been steady all year. Solheim, steady all year. And then Stemmy, what did he shoot the 2 days?
Stemmy went 77, 75, 77 Monday, 75 Tuesday.
Yeah, obviously a good fourth score if we need to use it around that 75. But yeah, he's also been there all year.
It's a nice luxury to be that deep.
That's yeah, for sure. Go down to about 9 players shooting in the 70s is pretty nice.
Yeah.
Would have been nice back in the day, Nick.
That's all right. We don't need to, like I've been talking about since then, the quality of golf right now in high school is insane. It's
amazing. Like,
I played 4 years and the best team score I was ever a part of was 301.
Yeah.
And that was
301. And
that was ourselves. Heck of a round for us.
And you guys turn up at state and shoot 282 the first day. Like if we had someone shoot a 75, that was like, we need to celebrate because that was just a sensational round. And right now a 75 is like, yeah, we probably won't take that.
Yeah.
It's different right now. And I'm just wondering if the best teams were that good and I just didn't realize it because we were too busy being in the middle of the pack. If the best teams were always that good, or if they're better now than they used to be, that's kind of what I'm wondering, just if I have a different perspective now. But yeah, it's crazy fun to watch
the leaderboard from when state was there, when we were in high school. I'm going to get back to you on that.
Yeah, I think 2 over won it individually. So there's that. All right, so we're down to like 3 holes left. I think at this point, individually, you had a 1-shot lead. I think the teams were probably tied. Talk about your third shot that set up birdie on 16 or red 7, and then after that. So I had a decent angle of that shot, but talk me through that a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite shots in the game. Kind of short sided by that bunker. Green was kind of downslope right away, but then it kind of upsloped once he got closer to the pin. Just kind of gripped down, open the face, try to hit a little spinner, just landed past the bunker. I don't know, clipped it good, kind of started funneling down towards the pin, and I knew I wasn't going to miss that putt. So,
you know, sometimes when the game feels difficult, like it's just, you know, it feels like pulling teeth just to try to fight for pars and let alone making a birdie, but it just seemed like you were in one of those zones where you weren't even really thinking about making bogeys. It's just as many birdies as possible. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Yeah, that's definitely the mindset I was in at those 2 days. So, yeah.
So that gets you to 10 under for the tournament, which is pretty crazy for 2 days. And then on 17, teams were tied at this point. I guess just from your perspective, talk us through the penultimate hole.
Yeah. So, walking up to 17 tee box, Corey kind of came up to me and he said, it's pretty much just you and Nick playing 1v1 for the team. Teams are tied. So he was like, I knew you were going to finish the job. So yeah, Nick hit first. It was like 210 yards on 17. And he stuck one to like 10 feet. And
that shot was unreal.
Yeah, I hardly hit that green. So I was like, oh, shoot. And then pulled out a 4-iron, kind of got a hold of it and just didn't spin. It was just like on the fringe deep a little bit. But as you guys probably know, that's one of the firmer greens on the course, brand new. Chip shot, had a perfect lie, clipped it. It just got a hard bounce, I'm pretty sure off the collar is what Corey said. And then had about like a 20-footer coming back and was able to put her in. But yeah, that was probably one of my favorite holes of the tournament.
Did you, like, was it just one of those where you saw the read and you just felt like you were going to make it, or what, like, what was your mindset over that? Cause that was one of the clutchest putts I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was just uphill a little bit, breaking half a cup left. I just aimed right edge, kind of gave her some speed, and yeah, I knew it was fairly straight. Just gave her a run.
So I had one of my younger brothers reach out to me and ask if I had a video of that putt. Were you able to find one?
I was, yeah.
All right. Good. Yeah. That's good. I did not have one, but I'm glad you found one. Okay, so somehow you guys both walk off with a 3, still tied on the last hole. Like, when it got down to these last few holes, like, any like, what were the nerves like? Because I've been in similar situations and I can very clearly remember, like, that it started to feel different the last few holes. Would you say it felt different, or was it still like it felt early in the round?
Honestly, I was just so in the moment, kind of felt like it was earlier in the round. Came off a big putt, obviously got really hype. I was able to kind of cool down, lock back in, and then T-box, that was kind of my miss. It's been my miss, just not getting my hips through and kind of just yanked it left. But yeah, honestly, the nerves weren't there. I'm not really sure what happened. But yeah.
I guess going back to sort of the putt on 17, but just in general, like, how, like, what was the feeling like having that many people out watching? Like, some of them obviously like family and other stuff like that, but sometimes, you know, people that aren't even related just wanted to be out watching the golf, out following you. Sometimes friends from school, guys from the football team. Like, what was it like having that many people out there supporting you?
It was awesome. Just seeing everyone out there just almost makes you want to just play better, to get those reactions like that I did on 17. Yeah, I don't know. Really didn't bring me any more nerves. Just kind of just made me want to play better. And it was just awesome having that many people watching you.
It's just sort of a cool opportunity, because the amount of people that play golf and then the amount of people that play competitive golf is so much less than that. And then of the people that play competitive golf, like, to have that sort of opportunity with that many people out, like, just pulling for you that hard, like, it was just cool to see from my perspective. And I also got me wondering, seeing, like, you know, guys from the football team out there, is golf cool now?
Like, yeah, honestly, like, we get, like, the football boys playing baseball now, and you start to see more people playing golf. It's kind of cool to see, but
I can definitely attest to, it's been insane how many just teenagers in general I have seen out at the golf course. And I mean, maybe it's just cause I recognize them now, being that I teach in town, but like, felt like every single time I was out there, I'd run into somebody, whether they're on the range, they're out playing. Like, it's big now. But yeah. I mean, it helps when you have a back-to-back state championship winning team, and
yeah,
doesn't hurt. All right. So the 18th green, what happened there?
Yeah. So, well, before that, so I was kind of in those trees. It was still tied, but those guys were on the green, so we didn't hear what Luke Olson from Pier got on that hole. And then I was actually going to go for the green. It was like 180 yards. I was just going to try to hook one around those trees. But right before I hit, kind of, Corey said Luke just doubled, so we had two strokes. And then wasn't even sure what I was at individually still. And so I just kind of tapped on out there to like 90 yards and was just kind of playing for like par bogey. And then Corey said, I also have a two-stroke cushion for individual, which wasn't the best. And then that was my first three putt of the tournament and probably first time missing inside 10 feet the whole tournament too. And as a 2-footer. So,
so at that point, do you think you would have done anything differently if you didn't know where the individual sat, or do you think you just happened to be a bad putt at a bad time?
Yeah, I knew it was for both of them, that putt, but I was just so focused on the team. I didn't even think too much about it. I just figured I was going to make it, but that was probably my first shot of the tournament that I didn't stay in the moment. And I was just kind of focusing on just everyone watching. It's hard not to.
Yeah, for sure. So,
sorry, go ahead, Nick.
No, go for it.
Unless you're going to the playoff.
I mean, soon enough. Yeah.
Okay. So what's kind of the feeling like around that? I mean, obviously you kind of want to celebrate with the guys. You just won the team title. But you also, as you mentioned, first three putt of the tournament, miss inside 3-4 feet, and now have to go to a playoff. Like what was kind of the vibe there with the guys? Were they hyping you up going into the playoff or?
Yeah, it was obviously a special moment, just walking off the green, giving the boys hugs, trying to get a little hype. Obviously, I knew I had a playoff still. But, yeah, honestly, I wasn't really too frustrated about missing the putt. I was just happy we won team. That was just awesome. But then right after all of us hugged, Corey said, now it's time to do this for you or whatever. But, yeah, I locked back in. Wasn't even sure who I was playing in the playoff, but.
So I saw your driver swing in the playoff. So that seemed like a fairly confident swing. Like going back and when I saw the video of that, it's like it kind of looks like you knew you were going to win that.
Yep. I honestly wasn't too worried about it. I don't know. I just kind of knew I was going to birdie. Just had all the confidence in the world. But
so you hit a perfect tee shot, great second shot, just short of the green. Derek puts his approach to probably like 20 feet. What was your thought over that third shot? Kind of a tough little shot over that slope.
Yeah, it was definitely tough. Slope kind of, you can't really land it too short of the hill, isn't it? Kicks left and then you got to get over the hill, funnels right, but kind of just open the face, try to hit a little spinner, land it on top of the hill and just have it trickle down the rest of the hill. But oh, here we go. Yeah, I thought I was going in, but
nearly did. That would have been electric. It still was, but
yeah,
it was within inches for sure.
So obviously he misses his birdie putt. And so then you have, you know, another short one for the win coming off the one you had just missed, you know, maybe 10 minutes earlier. What were your thoughts over the next 3-footer to win, 4-footer, whatever it was?
I don't know. I was just kind of unlike that 2-footer on 18. I was just locked in. I wanted to get it over with. And after I saw his, he missed it. I knew it was wraps. So,
So it goes in, obviously. You kind of look over at your team, shake his hand, and they all come over. It's just like, I guess, just like, did it sink in that moment? Or like, I mean, what was it like to drop the putt to be the state champ?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I don't know. Words can't describe really how awesome it was, but.
Yeah, and you could see a little bit of, I don't know, because the team on the 18th hole, you know, they obviously wanted to celebrate it, but, you know, they were a little bit muted. She was like, you know, he might have just missed the biggest putt of his life.
Yeah.
But then, you know, to be able to have that moment a little bit later. Do you ever hit that putt on the practice green growing up?
Which one? Like
the putt to win state?
All the time.
All the time.
Still do.
Yeah. Just to actually be standing over that putt has to just be a little bit surreal.
Yep.
So you celebrate with the team, celebrate with coach, and then your family walks out on the green. I damn near teared up. Like, what? That had to have been a pretty special moment.
Yeah, it was unreal.
So they've gone 52 years without winning state, and then two in a row for the guys. We got one for the girls in there, so three in a row for Watertown right now. Thanks. How are we feeling about Watertown Aero Golf? Is it a dynasty yet, or
Nick, I don't know how you feel, but all total, there's four state championships on this podcast right now. Three playing ones with two teams and an individual, and then one as an assistant coach. So
you know, does it count if the assistant coach wasn't there and was at his own
wedding? That was a pre-approved absence.
Okay. What about holes in one? How many of those do we have collectively here?
At least two.
I got one.
So three. All right. So we combined for three of those too. So we're combining for a bunch of state championships and a good handful of aces here with me doing my part.
You do kind of have a half.
Half of what?
A hole in one. Simulator.
Explain. Like
simulators half.
Oh, a simulator. I forgot about that. I feel like if I forgot about that, then it doesn't count.
Did we golf count then?
Oh yeah, then I've got like 25.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods.
PGA, I have one of those. 2K. I've got like 10. Yeah.
Did you have another one, Jengs? Did you have one that I cut you off?
Question? No.
Okay, so this is one I have to get to because I'm curious. I need to know about this putter because, you know, I didn't feel like I had to do extensive research for this one, but I'm pretty sure you are the first guy to win state with a hot pink putter.
Yeah, probably. Made the switch right before that Hillcrest tournament. Honestly, like all year, I just hadn't been like making like any like 10, 15 footers. And I just wasn't like starting them all on my line. And then obviously I've always wanted to switch to an arm lock and it almost makes it impossible to not hit your line. So obviously it worked that first tournament, got my first ever win, but.
So is that yours? Is that, I've heard that you were borrowing that from Eric. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm going to end up buying it, but yeah.
Yeah, that was, wait,
so let me go back. The putter's hot pink.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, like the head.
Yes.
Oh my, I thought it looked red on every, so I thought it was just a red lab putter. I didn't realize it was hot pink.
It's hot pink, isn't it?
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. Hot pink.
That's
yeah. From a distance, it looked red, but then someone told me it was hot pink. I was like, is it? And then I saw it a little bit closer and like, it definitely is. So that's a guy that's comfortable in his skin, and he's comfortable that he's going to go out and beat everybody out there with a hot pink putter.
Yeah, definitely got flamed quite a bit. Actually, the day before state, it was that night, we were all on the putting green. Had some like boys from like Rapid City Stevens or whatever talking on my downfall on my putter, but I don't know.
I mean, I think that's all the bulletin board material you needed.
Yeah. Yep.
I would send them a picture, take a picture of the putter next to the state championship trophy and then just ship it in the mail to Stevens.
Yeah, I think that's a great
idea. Kind of a little reminder.
Yeah.
Off the record, obviously, because, I mean, that's not legal school district advice. That's podcast advice. So.
Yeah. I think I was just going to take the picture. You probably posted it, maybe. But the picture of you celebrating the winning putt, I'll just have that as the episode art.
Yeah.
Just to put the pink putter out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty electric, you could say. Jangs, I have a couple more, but anything you want to throw in there?
I took a lot
of the air.
I don't want to get into it, but I mean, it's notorious. We do have to mention on the podcast, for our listeners, they do know I'm a notorious lab hater. So I will have to give props to the lab putter for this one.
Yes. Will you be issuing an apology to lab golf putters?
I will not be issuing a formal apology. No, but, in this one case, I will let it slide.
Okay. Just so you know, I have one on order. It's not arm lock, but I do have one on order. I don't know if you knew that.
You don't.
Yes, I do. So they may become a sponsor of the show, of the program. So
that would be. I'm not going to lie. They feel so pure.
Yeah, he doesn't want to face it.
I don't want to face the music on it.
So what comes next? Is there college golf in the future?
Yeah. I'm guessing so.
That's good. Do we know where yet? Or are we still working through that?
Still working on it. Yeah.
That's good. I think that's more or less where I was at that point, but I also was not a state champion, so I was a lot more average when I was in high school. I talked to your dad a little bit. He seemed like when I talked to him that you were maybe uncertain. Has it changed in like the last few weeks that you're for sure you wanted to play college golf, or were you always pretty sure?
I think this whole year I've kind of been for sure on it. Obviously it's helped the last week. I'm more for sure on it now, but yeah, I've always kind of wanted to play, but
all right. So how about this, golf wise, now that you've accomplished probably some of the biggest goals you could even think of, is just, you know, while you were a high school golfer, winning state as a team, winning state individually, where did the goals go from here on the course?
Probably beating Nick Mahold in the pro-am. I have to say that.
That's a good place to start.
Make sure you get into the Compesca too and dethrone him there. I'm tired of seeing him win all the time.
Problem is it's in late August, so he's gonna have to wait till he's done with college golf for him to finally play in the Compesca.
Yeah, so I have after that.
So yeah, if I keep playing that, I still have, you know, a couple years where I don't have to worry about him. But yeah, so I guess, you know, he's accomplished almost everything in the game. He just needs, you know, just that one last thing. So,
and he's gonna shoot 59 to do it too.
I like it.
SDJ events, USGA events, you have any idea for what you'll all want to play in for next summer?
I think I might actually be young enough to play in the US Junior. I think that'd be pretty sweet. to qualify for that. I was close about 2 years ago. I think I got like sixth place, just a few shots off, but that's probably a big one. South Dakota match play, that'd be huge to win.
Yeah, that would be
a lot of studs in that, so that might be down the road, but
speaking of match play, have those courses been released yet, or is that not usually until later on?
I haven't seen it, no.
Haven't looked. We'll give it a quick just to see, but I don't think it has.
October seems a little early, so
yeah, maybe it's I think it'd be like December around there they release it, but
otherwise, I mean, that's about all I've got. Thanks. Anything else you had outstanding for him?
I don't really have anything outstanding. It's just kind of a last second. The floor is yours, Ty. Anything last that you want to say? Anything that maybe we didn't touch on that you want to add in? Or
I think we covered it. Yep.
Well, again, huge congratulations. Now, so we have back-to-back team championships for Watertown, 3 of the last 4 individually. It's pretty sick. But yeah, again, huge thanks for making the time to come on and chat. We really appreciate it, and we're glad we were able to make it work.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you again for coming on. I'll echo Nick. Kind of like we said, it's always fun to have a guest on, so it's not just us talking. So
yeah,
and it's good to get inside the mind of a champion. So
you bet. Well, guys, there you have it. Just like Jang said, in the mind of a champion. Jangs, what were your thoughts on the interview with Mr. State Champ Ty Leonards?
I think that there was a lot of good things to kind of take out of that. Kind of one of the major things that he really, really harped on was kind of that stay in the moment. And I mean, I feel like that's something for a lot of golfers. It's a great piece of advice, competitive, casual. It's all about being in that moment, being in the present. So yeah, that was kind of my big takeaway out of it. But what about you?
One thing I really liked is just how he, you know, sort of said the moment, and even having the, you know, all of those extra people there watching, and, you know, basically the culmination of his high school career. It just made him almost lock in further and more motivation to play well, rather than where a lot of people might, you know, have the experience of a lot more people watching in a huge tournament like that. It might make you more nervous and more, you know, white knuckling it and trying not to mess up, rather than like he took it as an opportunity to go play great. And that's exactly what he did. So, I mean, with that tough last hole, I mean, he finishes 8 under for the tournament. Really, I look at it like 10 under, yeah. You know, for 2 days. I don't care what the conditions are. I don't care what the course is. That's legitimate golf.
You still got to go out and make birdies.
Yeah, it was. And for him, from the whole team, from the other teams, I mean, we had Pierre 1 shot behind at 6 under for the tournament. Harrisburg at 5 under. Like, it was just
yeah,
a pleasure to watch. Like, it was just such high quality golf.
Yeah, 3 teams under par for the team championship, and then a couple at 10 and 13 over. Individually, you had 9 guys under par. You had 2 more at even, so 11 at even or better. And I did go fact check myself, like I said, I was going to do in the interview. Last time that state AA was in Watertown, was 2014. We were in high school playing in this state tournament.
We were juniors.
The weather was definitely a lot worse than what they had. Remember that first day was like 40.
Very cold and windy.
I'm pretty sure that there was snow falling at points during that.
That's tournament. A bit of a stretch. There was not snow falling.
But the winning team score was 39 over. Brandon Valley went 303, 304.
That is insane. That is insane. And the winning individual was two over, correct?
Yes. Alex Hammer, two over. Just to put into perspective, that 39 over as a team would have gotten you seventh place at state this year. So
that is unbelievable. Now, again, the weather this year, as close to perfect as you can expect in South Dakota. But still, I mean, it's not, let me do some quick math here. 46 shots worth, 23 per day.
Yeah.
Like the quality, like that is, I can't believe that's true. What did you say? 303, 304?
303, 304.
Gosh.
And we as a team.
That's unbelievable.
We as a team were eighth place that year. We were 50 shots back of first place. We shot 89 over, 324, 333. And that 89 over would have finished 16th out of 19 teams if you had included us into the field. So,
I mean, I think I shot 79-78
for you.
And that got me, all state. Like, I think I was like 13th or something.
T13.
But where would that have, where would I have finished this year with those scores?
79-78. Well, you'd have been 15 over because it was a par 71.
True.
That year. So 15 over to par would have gotten you T44 this year.
That's tough. That's not great.
Yeah, you went 79-78. I did not break 90 either day.
Redacted.
So, yeah, redacted score.
I shot a redacted.
Yellow really tossed my salad.
That was before you really hit your stride. I mean, I say that in a way that sounds joking, but I'm like truly serious.
No, I like even between junior and senior year, like there was a major uptick in my game.
Yeah.
And then from senior year to college, there was a big uptick in my game. Like, You always talk about how you were not a good high school golfer.
I wouldn't say like, not good. I mean,
you were not as good in high school as you are now.
Correct.
I was not as good in high school as I became in college. And I'm not anywhere near as good now as I'm still better now than I was in high school, but not anywhere near what I was in college.
I would say you're better now than like when you were a junior in high school easily. Would you say you're still better now than you were when you were a senior?
I would say so. Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, we get older, we hit our mid-20s, even the late-20s. I'm 26 and a half today, half birthday.
Hey, I'm 20. Wait, I'm older than you?
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
What?
Yeah, you're about to turn.
I turned 27 in 2 months.
Do you? I always forget.
You want to talk about hitting your stride and getting old? I got roped into playing flag football, like rec league flag football this year.
Yeah.
So last night was the championship night.
Yeah.
It was the playoffs. It was like 40 degrees outside. I ran one route and I felt like my hamstring was seizing up. I went and stretched out on the sideline. I've tried to walk in the high school today. My knees, like my meniscuses both hurt. Like,
yeah, I was gonna, this was maybe going to be some podcast content. I needed to know how flag football was treating you physically.
I did say last night, it's a lot better to play two games than it is to play one.
Explain that.
Like when I played one game a night, like I was just starting to get warmed up and then it was just done. And I was like, I'm just kind of like, I feel like crap now. Like I'm kind of in pain. But like when I played two games, I just didn't feel anything. After the second game last night, I felt like I'd go bike 10 miles at the rec. Like I was just feeling like I was hitting my stride.
There you go.
Glad I didn't, because I might not have gotten out of bed this morning if I did.
How'd you feel this morning?
Not good. My knees still hurt right now. So I'm like kind of stretching under the desk here. But I have gotten it. I got to the gym. Shouldn't say been getting in the gym. Got to the gym once last week. I did go bike.
There you go.
I warmed up. I did 5 minutes on the elliptical, biked 10 miles. So,
you know,
the gym grind for the winter is starting.
Yeah. You know, I hate to echo that because then, you know, I'll have more people holding me accountable. But yeah, I've been getting back into it and did a leg workout yesterday that I have been feeling very much yesterday and today, and we'll see how I feel tomorrow. But
everyone complains about, I love leg day. Like, leg day is my favorite day.
Ooh. Ah, I don't know. I don't know, but I got
shipped to the rec and we're going to have to be gym bros.
Yeah. Yeah. Facts. I gotta get myself to stick with it. Gotta get stronger. Now we're hitting our late 20s. That's when I've been told by my dentist, say that's when you start to go, which way? This way. Downhill a little bit. Past your peak. He's like, now you gotta work a lot harder to stay at your peak. And I'm like, you know, doc, I don't want to hear that, but it's probably what I need to hear. So, and he was saying that in the context of flossing, but I think it still applies.
Yeah. The last thing I heard from my dentist was, you're going to feel a pinch and then count down from 99. And I got to 90 sit and then I was out. And then I have not heard from my dentist since.
Okay.
That was,
I thought you were going to say something like, last time I heard from my dentist, I was like 15 or something.
Well, yeah, I was, let's just say I was 20 when that happened. So I should probably go to the dentist for a checkup again.
You know, I suppose this isn't a dental advice podcast, but
thankfully,
what do we got coming up? What, Dream 18? Is that what we were calling it?
Dream 18 is next episode. Yeah, I think Dream 18 is what we came up with.
And so let's like just run down the structure of that again.
So Dream 18, what we decided last week, and we're kind of, I mean, this is the rules we decided. We can still spitball a little bit, but 18 holes, has to be 4 par 5s, 4 par 3s, the rest par 4s, par 72.
Okay.
I do not think we agreed upon that, like, your hole one has to be a hole one, or did we agree?
See, I thought we did.
Okay, so then
I think that's going to make it a lot more interesting because there's so many great holes out there if we just have any hole to pick from. So, and then we snake draft it
for snake each hole. Draft. Yep.
Should we try to get a fourth?
I would say so. We can even maybe try and go 5.
I'm trying to think of who, you know, an obvious one that comes to my head is Drew, but he, you know, has a 1 month old. So
I'm trying to think of some
probably going to be hard course. To schedule.
Who else is a golf nerd that we could get?
I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe Mac, again, he has a couple kids, you know, it's hard to pin down these schedules to all work at the same time.
Yeah. It's maybe we should try and go for a fourth. Maybe let's just stick with 4. Could get Sam on.
Which one?
Your brother.
I don't think he's.
Who's another Sam?
Rada?
Oh yeah. He'd probably be in the air.
Culture?
No.
Brother-in-law?
I don't know if he would know 18 golf holes to pick.
Well, that's what I'm saying about my Sam.
But yeah.
We can bring him on if we're talking about moving snow or mowing.
Yeah, that'd be a good episode. But yeah, so 18 holes, snake draft. Par 72, I think. Yeah, those are the rules that we
basically we all pick up the first hole, I'll pick a second hole. You know, the like
does here's the question.
Some of them where there's iconic ones will get a little bit interesting, but
will anybody end up with just 18 holes of the same course? Like, is it possible that someone just drafts 1 through 18 at Augusta and their Dream 18 is just Augusta National?
I guess it's theoretically possible, but, you know, especially if you're on the right end of the snake, you could get 12 and 13. but you know,
can we ban you drafting all 18 holes of Marion?
See, no, we can't, because I said so. No, there's definitely some iconic ones out there. We'll see what we end up with. But
I hope I have the first pick in round two. Or hole two, I should say.
Hole two. Oh, Lofoten.
I'm just snagging Lofoten. I don't care about two at Augusta. Give me two at Lofoten all day.
Yeah.
Screw it. Give me two blue. I like love a par three for my second hole.
Two at Gray Winds.
Yeah.
No.
No. Two at what are some courses we played in? I'm trying to think of some courses we played in high school.
BCC.
Two at BCC. If you were doing a South Dakota Dream 18, that might be it.
Low key, if Noah was from here, that would be an elite one. Like having to pick from South Dakota, that would be maybe that'd be pretty that, good. Just because there's like eight golf courses in South Dakota.
Well, yeah.
Or you know, we could do a couple of Dream 18s, but with different themes. So we could do like US, we could do Europe, we could do links courses, or if that would be too much work or too much research.
I mean, we could start with an overall Dream 18.
All right, that's fair.
And then we could break it down into like Dream 18 of open rota courses, Dream 18 of the Masters courses, which would just be Augusta. Dream 18 of Cattail.
No. But yeah, you're right. I think, yeah, we just do it overall, go from there. But otherwise, anything else before we shut her down for this week?
No, it's starting to get cold.
My Vikings are 5-0. I've barely even talked about them on the pod.
They are 5-0. My Patriots are not.
No, but hey, we'd be glad to have you for this season.
I'm severely, the more and more I keep watching a certain team, and I really like one of the players on said team. Why am I getting whistled at? The more I like a certain player on that team, I want to. What's going on? I really want to become a fan of the Jets. That's where I was going with that. I will be right back.
All right. Well, I might just call it.
Yeah, we'll just call it.
All right.
Stay on the train. Right. Stay on the tracks. We'll just call it. Don't fall off the tracks. Again, thank you, Ty, for coming on.
Thank you, Ty, for coming on.
Congratulations. Golf clap.
Unbelievable sport. Glad we can make it happen. Yeah. Peace out. Till next time.
Peace.
I just got stuck in a bogey train.